things have gone well. Last two drill programs there, we hit on, I think, over 95% of our holes hit. So the deposit starts right at surface. So one would think it should be amenable to open pit mining, which is always good for your operating costs. And we're only 6 kilometers from rail. So in your parlance, that would be 3.5 miles, 4 miles from a railway that allows us to get our product down on the coast within a day. So it's got a lot of important things in mining going for it.
Michael Williams, Aftermath Silver. Good afternoon to you, my friend.
Andy, thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. For full disclosure, I am an investor in Aftermath Silver, and Aftermath Silver is a new sponsor to the site and to the channel. Please do your own due diligence if you choose to invest. Michael, give us a 30,000-foot view of the company here and the projects. Tell us all about it.
Perfect. Well, as the name connotates, Aftermath Silver, we have significant silver exposure in three projects. We focus in Chile and Peru, but our flagship property is unequivocally Barranquilla in Peru. Has a significant silver resource, as I mentioned. I think it's one of the bigger non-developed silver assets globally. Number two, it has significant copper. And number three, it has a metal called manganese. And manganese is an interesting metal, especially in this side, given we think, and we've released some results from a metallurgical point of view, that demonstrates it could be used in the electrical vehicle battery space. And we've got a lot of it, and I think it could eventually impact on a positive way the manganese battery space. I think we would be one of the larger deposits globally once again, given what we have. Historically, manganese was negative. If you had it in your ore body, it made it difficult to get the other metals out. And I think that's why this deposit, Barranquilla in southern Peru, was available 4 years ago when we picked it up for $15 million US off a company called Silver Standard Resources, who are going to focus outside of Peru, and we're becoming more of a gold company. And I think, quite frankly, they didn't want to put the effort needed to figure out the manganese. Now, we've advanced it significantly. We demonstrate that we can produce a product to laboratory level at 99.9%, which is what it has to be for manganese. And at the same time, we've expanded the silvery copper resources. And we're, in fact, we're going to put out another resource within, I think, about 30 days. And it'll include, I believe it's 102 holes. 70% of those will be infilling. So we're going to take our inferred resource and put it into the indicated category. And then we're 30% of those are step outs. Now, we've hit some dramatic step out holes. The last hole we hit as we've moved east on the deposit, I'm going to go off road memory, was 152 meters of 1.1% copper, 1.2% copper, 279 grams of silver, and 7% copper. So in a copper equivalent, that's about a 5% copper hole over 150 meters. But we've also hit some other 100 meter step outs there. So the deposit at Barranquilla is what we call a carbonate replacement deposit. There is potential to find the source that caused this deposit to be formed. So I believe there's still a lot of exploration upside, even though as a resource, I'm going to look at my presentation so I get the exact numbers. But for the silver ounces in measured and indicated, 101 million. And there's a further 38.8 million inferred, and that should be going up, some of it into the measured and indicated category. And we have 2.4 million tons of copper in measured and indicated, and 0.8 million tons inferred. And then the manganese, 589 million pounds of manganese in measured and indicated and 204 in inferred. So those numbers will change, but it's a big deposit and it's significant. And we're getting a lot of attention from both institutions and other mining companies that are looking down the road of, you know, what's the next project that they might want to be involved in. So I think we're on everyone's radar. Things have gone well. Last two drill programs there, we hit on, I think, over 95% of our holes hit. So the deposit starts right at surface. So one would think it should be amenable to open pit mining, which is always good for your operating costs. And we're only 6 kilometers from rail. So in your parlance, that would be 3.5 miles, 4 miles from a railway that allows us to get our product down on the coast within a day. So it's got a lot of important things in mining going for it. We also have a secondary deposit in Chile called Chiquillo, and that is 45 million ounces. I believe it's 35 in the measured and indicated category, 10 million in inferred. We are, given what the silver prices are doing, we'd like to expand that deposit by drilling it. Expect to see an announcement probably Q4 of this year that we're going to do a program there as well. So a lot of things going on in this company.
Okay. So Michael, you just gave us a lot of information. I'm going to first try to break that down to my viewers and listeners, but I really want you to correct me if I get it all wrong or if I get any of this wrong. So talking to all my viewers and listeners, please keep in mind, full disclosure, I am an investor, a very happy investor. Michael and I are actually, we've had lunches, dinners, drinks sort of together, if you would. I'm plugged in.
We had drinks.
I'm plugged into this company. And actually, Michael, I've met with him in Atlanta to all my viewers here in Atlanta that will more than likely be watching this. There's a very strong investment group here in Atlanta that Michael's also very friendly with, as well as they are investors here in Atlanta. Michael, to all my viewers and listeners, they're already, Aftermath is already sitting on a lot of silver. That's a lot of silver, okay? And when he just mentioned step outs, when you step out, you're basically, you're expanding your resource, but it's actually quite risky, if you would, because it's not where the silver is in a sense, or that you know where it's at. You're stepping out to expand the resource more than what is, it can be a risky move. But if what Michael's done is he's hit on the step outs, what that means, there's more than likely, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, from that step out drill to where the normal drilling is. I say that as a layman. So it's inferring that the resource is even bigger than what he already has. Is that correct?
It is. I think it's still open, especially to the east where we hit those large, those significant holes. But what you've got to bear in mind, Andy, is the goal usually, you want to get a minimum of 15-year mine life and up to a 20-year mine life. So I think we de-risk this project. And look, when our new resource is out, there's enough ore there in my mind to go forward. And because it comes right to surface from an engineering point of view, but it's always good to expand. But the significant, you want to show potential suitors that, hey, this isn't just this, 15, 20 years. This could go on 25 years. But when you look at the economics, they're based mainly on the first 15, your internal rate of return and NPV. That's what the bankers look at. But it's good to expand. And the reason it's predicated on the first 15 or even 20 years, anything beyond that, it's so heavily discounted because that money won't be coming in for a long time that it doesn't show on your internal rate of returns. But from a mining perspective, it's important to show as much ore as you can. But we've been focusing on is making that first, the first 15 to 20 years, that increasing our throughputs to benefit our economics. So when we put out a PEA or a PFS, which is due next year, you'll see it reflected in that. Now, the other key thing is we're not only just expanding this deposit, we're looking for the source of this deposit, which in this case is an intrusive or a copper porphyry. And I would almost describe Barranquilla, given what we've put out to date, in my mind, it's a tier one asset. If we found a porphyry, I think you could make an argument now we have a world-class situation, given that you've got a porphyry deposit and a CRD. But even if we don't find the porphyry or it's uneconomic, I think we've got something special here that, you know, and the market likes it. Where our largest shareholder is one of the premier silver investors in the world, Eric Sprott. Eric's at about 25% of our issued and outstanding. But more importantly, Eric increased his holdings from 14.4 last September based on the silver, and then asked a month later, based on the manganese, he did some research and he's come back and said, look, I think the manganese represents a unique opportunity, one that I haven't really seen in my career. And he went to 25%. So, you know, that's a validation that we're certainly on the right track. Lots of room for upside. I think we're valued more on the silver than anything. So when the manganese, you know, comes into vogue and people understand it a bit better, and they'll understand our role or position in the global manganese market, I think the current shareholders will benefit from that. So there's lots of upside. We still could find another deposit, and, you know, 2.5 miles away from this ore body, we're seeing indications at surface of a skarn, which is another style of mineralization, but can be, you know, hopefully we're seeing high grades at surface. We can duplicate that with a drill result. So yeah, there's a lot going on, and it's, you know, we're seeing it reflected in the share price. And I think it has a lot further room to grow as we put out news.
Yeah. So to all my viewers and listeners, or to Michael, very well said, and I want to correct myself. This asset has been de-risked, and these are my words. I don't want to speak for Michael. This is already a tier one asset, in my opinion, my strong opinion as an investor. That being said, there's so much more room here to grow than the step out drilling program, I think, and this is my own opinion, shows that. Now, Michael's discussed the manganese, and I'll tell you just what Michael told me in meeting with him. I don't think, well, this is just me talking here, I don't think the market is really valuing just even the manganese. As Michael said, that's really the cherry on top. But Michael, I think it's even bigger than that.
Well, yeah, and to get your point about it being the risk, our economic studies, and we're going to make a decision after the resource is out. If we go to preliminary economic assessment, which you can do a lot quicker, or we'll take the whole year and do a pre-feasibility, which has a lot more data. It's more conclusive. You know, I think my druthers and a lot of the market people, they always prefer you to go to a pre-feasibility study. But yeah, that will, and then you put out your economic numbers. I can show you what our power costs are, or shipping, or rail. And then I can say to you, yes, this is de-risk. Here's why. But I think if you look back on and look how much, you know, mineralization we have, and the fact that it comes to surface, and that the original, you know, the metallurgy looks good. We're going to get good recoveries. We've already put that out to the market. Everything bodes well for me conclusively saying it's de-risked. Here's why.
Yeah. So to all my viewers and listeners here, yes, exactly what Michael said. Michael, I want to get to a little bit to the share structure of the company, the financials that you can talk about, if you would, as well as your investor base. You've been through Atlanta, where I live, several times. I met with you from lunch. Who are your big investors that you can comment about? What kind of skin do you have in the game? And talk to me about share structures. How many shares outstanding, fully diluted, do you have? Tell me all about that.
Yeah, I just saw the number. So we issued an outstanding is, I think, 300 and 7 million, with Eric Sprott holding approximately 72 million of those shares. And then we're about to might be as high as 390 million on the fully diluted. But if we went to that fully diluted number, I believe it puts in, I want to say, 30 million into the treasury on options and outstanding warrants, assuming they get exercised. We have, on top of Eric, several other groups that I would call institutional investors, family offices in Europe. We had a fund as a major shareholder out of Australia. Management is about 4%, I believe, if you add everything up, and the directors. We've been slowly diluted down as we've advanced the company. You know, unfortunately, the silver market didn't evolve as quickly as we liked. So we did some lower round financings, but we, you know, our liquidity in some cases is up to 1 million shares a day. We're one of the biggest traders on the TSX venture. And we also have an OTC QX listing where we have significant exposure in the States. A lot of our valuation is predicated on the silver. I know the people that you referenced in Atlanta are very sophisticated mining people. They understand the sector. I've known them for a long time, and hence why I like to go to Atlanta at least a couple times a year to answer any questions and show them, you know, what we've advanced the project. And, you know, basically I'll tell them what we're going to do. Then I want to show them what we've done. But there's pockets of group like your Atlanta investors throughout the United States. And then there's big pockets of investors that really follow precious metals. Manganese hasn't caught on yet, to your earlier point. That's why our value is predicated on that. But there is no EV revolution without manganese. It's used in the cathode portion of the battery. And, you know, the numbers I'm seeing, they're not as aggressive in the US and Europe as they are in other parts of the world. But in several years, you know, expect the electric vehicle new sales to be 40 or 50% of total vehicle sales. So it's a sector that's continuing to grow. Manganese is a must-have for that. Most, if not all, of the battery chemistries we see have an M in them for manganese. It reduces the combustibility of the batteries. It helps increase the energy dispersion, which gives longer mileage. So it's got a lot of things going for it. And there's not a lot of good manganese companies worldwide. There's, you know, guess probably 10 to 12. And we could be one of the biggest. So anytime you're the biggest in something is a good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. And to all my viewers and listeners, again, this is not an endorsement. I am an investor. Michael is probably one of the hardest working CEOs that I know. I'm not kidding. He's always on the road meeting with either it's individual retail investors like myself or the people in here at Atlanta, or he's meeting with institutions. I mean, it's nonstop all the time. And that's exactly what you want as a CEO. He's also one of the most knowledgeable CEOs that I know in this business, which is exactly what you want. And you can tell from this interview, he's very charismatic, which is exactly what you want, because you want your company pitching, you want your CEO pitching the company to everyone. That's exactly what you need.
Well, just one slight correction. The CEO is actually a geologist named Ralph Rushton, who I think you've met Ralph in our travels.
Yes.
But I'm the executive chair and founder, and Ralph and I, our roles are basically interchangeable. We kind of split our duties, and Ralph is equally as good at making presentations and working hard, but you know, I've been in markets where no one wants to talk to you. No one wants to talk mining. So if people want to hear the story, we're more than happy to sit down with them. And in some cases, it takes 3, 4, 5 meetings, and then they'll say, hey, I just box them. So, but you've got to work hard in this industry. It's not an easy industry, but we do have the project, and that's, you know, we'll say the rocks don't know who owns them, but we have a good management team.
Yeah. Okay. So Mike, my correction, or you've corrected me. Thank you so much. And also a shout out to your team. It is world-class. And also to your point too, we didn't, and there's myself included, silver is taking off. It took longer than expected, if you would, but I think we're right there now. That is why I own Aftermath. Again, this is do your own due diligence, but it's really to get the silver exposure. And these are my words, not Michael. It's manganese is the cherry on top, and that's could be the that could be the asset, if you would. But those are just how I look at Aftermath silver. Michael, what should investors be aware of really within the next few weeks or few months here? As we're going into the new year, how should they, how should they pay attention?
Well, I think look to our press releases in September, because we will be announcing the new resource, and it'll include 102 holes that aren't in the current resource, and then look for a decision whether they're going to PEA or pre-feasibility study, and then what our pro we are going to follow up on those. High grade holes we hit out east. And when we get our permits, we'll be drilling that skarn target. And then at the end of the year, you know, we'll put out an economic study. So I think there'll be lots of news. And also, you know, we sometimes tend to overlook Chanipoyo, the project in Chile, but it's a good project in and of its own right, you know, for 45 million ounces, 35 in measured and indicated, and 10 million in inferred. It's a great start, and it's close to infrastructure. The issue in Chile is always water, and fortunately, there's a couple desalination pipelines close to that project. We would need to negotiate with the owners, but it's got the makings of a decent silver project. But Barranquilla is, you know, I like to say it's special, and. You know, and from what we're seeing in the market reaction and, you know, from what others tell us, I think I'm right on that.
I think you're right on that as well. So, Michael, how did people find you? What is your website? What exchanges are you traded on? And what are your ticker symbols?
I'm going to give you Aftermath is AAG on Toronto Venture and on the OTCQX. We are AAGFF, I believe.
Got it. I will put all of this in the show notes on the YouTube channel, as well as on the Apple and Apple Podcast and Spotify channels. Michael, anything else you would like to add until I see you next time?
Yeah, if anyone wants to reach out to myself or Ralph Rushton, Ralph's is RalphR@AftermathSilver.com and mine is MW@AftermathSilver.com. Websites, www.aftermath.com.
I will put all of this in the show notes below.
Yeah, AftermathSilver.com, sorry.
That's okay. I will put all of this in the show notes again. And Michael, I really would like to have you back on maybe mid to late September if you're agreeable.
Yeah, we can review the new resource and looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it too. Thank you so much, Michael, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Andy.
You bet.